Good morning, everyone. There's an old story of people at Trades Union Congress, and they asked for a show of hands. Who wants change? Everyone put their hands up. The second question was, who wants to be changed? Ah, that's slightly different. So change, sometimes feels, doesn't it, like everything's changing. We've got used to this over the years, and those who work in IT, like I do, have to embrace it with open arms. There's always something new around the corner, and we seem to turn those corners pretty frequently these days. But some things seem destined never to change. 1992, 25 years ago or more, you probably remember that photograph of all these luxury cruises piled up like broken toys in the Florida Keys, Hurricane Andrew. 2017, Hurricane Harvey, nothing much has changed. 1992, Alien 3 came out, the third in the franchise. Yes, 2017, they're still making them. Oh, dear. When will they stop? 1992, the UN and the United States involved in civil war in Somalia. The United States still involved in civil wars, this time in Syria. Mind you, some things don't change very much. Now, when was that photograph taken? That's quite hard, isn't it? I'm not looking for an answer. It's that's fine. It's just a rhetorical question. When I preached here in 2005, before Cafe Plus started, the passage that I'd selected for the day was John 21, verses 1 to 14. And it just so happens that that's the passage that came up today. And I had no idea, because even a week ago I thought I was preaching on Lazarus. And then, by a strange turn of events, during the week, I found out that it wasn't Lazarus at all. But it was the same passage that I preached on when Cafe Plus started all those years ago. And I said to Kirsten, that's a coincidence. And she said, no, it's not a coincidence. It's a God incidence. And she's obviously right. So for those disciples out in their boats on the Sea of Galilee, it says the Sea of Tiberias in the Gospel, but it's the same thing. That was just the Roman name for it. For them, everything had changed, and yet nothing had changed. They'd had a whirlwind 3 years, following Jesus from place to place, witnessing amazing things, yet culminating in disaster, death, and what must have been an ignominious return to their hometowns. Were their hopes raised by the previous appearances of Jesus after the resurrection? We can't tell. All we know is that they, at least seven of them, at least, were back to fishing. And here's a stranger on the shore telling them how to fish. We must remember these men had been fishermen all their lives. Their livelihoods had depended on it. Their ancestors would probably have been fishermen as long as they could remember. And they would have known the lake intimately. They would have been familiar with every shoal, every sandbank, and where the deep water was. They would have been expert readers of the weather. It was a very stormy sea. Storms could come up very quickly. And they would have been skilled sailors as well. That's quite entertaining. So basically, they knew how to fish. Yet on the shore there's a man telling them to look somewhere else for their elusive fish. Look on the other side of the boat. Look on the right side of the boat. Turn round. See things differently. They might have been less inclined to take the advice of this stranger if they had not already experienced a night of fruitless fishing. In verse 3 it says they could caught nothing. And perhaps their readiness to try something new was because of that. So in January 2005 I stood here and I encouraged the congregation at the time to try something new. To fish from the other side of the boat. To make a bold step to move from a come to us kind of strategy to a go to them. In the church at the time, here, it seemed like nothing was changing and yet we were standing still in some ways. When I moved to Haddenham in 1984, I was one of the younger adults in the church. And yet 20 years later in 2005, I could stand up here and make the same statement. There were very few young families, the Sunday school was dwindling, and it was clear to all that we needed to think again about mission and evangelism. So having already asked the PCC to consider the idea, I shared with the whole congregation the vision for a breakfast cafe to be held on the first Sunday of the month instead of the 10:30 morning service, in which we would take over the village hall, throw open the doors to anyone and everyone, offer all comers breakfast, and make connections with people in a relaxed atmosphere over coffee. And at the same time, model and share kingdom values with them, not in a preachy, prescriptive way, but propositionally, listening as much as speaking. We wanted to remove the barrier which that ancient oak door represents for some people. And we wanted to welcome them into a neutral space, as much theirs as ours. The congregation were almost unanimously for it. So in June that year, we opened the village hall doors for Cafe Plus for the first time, with a purpose to expressly try to engage those on the edge or outside the church. Not to do cafe church, a worship survey just in a cafe context, but to reach out beyond our own number with the same love that we have experienced in Christ. So this then was our vision. And after that first Cafe Plus, one member of the congregation who was a long-time churchgoer and was one of the elders of the fellowship, I suppose, she said to me, after going to Cafe Plus for the first time, "I now understand what you were talking about when you said the church door was a barrier. I couldn't think what you meant before today. But going to Cafe Plus for the first time, to an environment I was not at all familiar with, and not knowing what was expected of me when I went in, suddenly I realized what it must be like for some folk to walk through our church door at the start of a service." So it's at this point I really want to pay tribute to all those who've committed themselves over the years to making Cafe Plus a reality. Not only from day one, and there are plenty of those here this morning, but ever since, thank you all for making that vision a reality. A strategy which we absolutely believe was of the Lord. And Cafe Plus has inspired a number of other similar projects. I know of one in Bosiat, just north of Northampton. Waltham St. Lawrence in Berkshire have had a cafe running for many years. And I know of one that started this morning at 10 o'clock. See if this sounds familiar. Cafe Church in Binnigar, it's a small village in Somerset. Sunday morning cafe, meet friends, chat, read the papers, good coffee, bacon rolls, music and a thought for the day, children's table, quiet area, table talk. It's almost identical. But that's great, because over the years, Cafe Plus has received lots of visitors, and many have gone away inspired to do something very similar. But in the light of those 13 years of experience, watching this vision develop and unfold, I wanted to share a few thoughts with you about how I think we should go move forward and how we should operate Cafe Plus. So there's a Croatian theologian called Miroslav Volf. And in his writings, he's observed that Christian missional practice should follow this kind of idea. As Christ, so we. So, for example, as Christ loved us, so we love others. As Christ forgave us, so we forgive others. As Christ washed the disciples' feet, so we humbly serve each other. So this then should be at the root of our mission. That in living out these examples when we encounter others, we might make disciples of all nations. So Cafe Plus, therefore, has never been about self-serving, but about putting into practice what we learn about when we gather together as a fellowship. And we need to remember this when we consider developments to Cafe Plus, that it is others we set out to serve and not ourselves. I think this should be the guide for all considerations of what we do at Cafe Plus. It's not that there isn't a service on the first Sunday morning, it's that there's a different kind of service. This is most definitely not our Great Commission. But it is tempting to think that by opening the doors, making great coffee, serving breakfast, as Jesus did to his disciples, and enjoying a warm and friendly atmosphere, that's all we need to do. But it isn't. It's what happens after the coffee is served that makes the difference between making contact and making disciples. Making disciples, incidentally, is one of the great challenges faced by both traditional and fresh expressions of church at this time. We know through Cafe Plus how easy it is to make contacts, but it remains significantly harder to encourage deeper discipleship. This was in our original Cafe Plus vision, and I've spoken about this a number of times to different people, that Cafe Plus was always envisaged as a framework, just an infrastructure, a foundation which would support outreach groups and activities. So this follows on from what I was just saying. The cafe, the food, the coffee machine, the layout of the hall, the logistics of preparing a welcoming space, that's just the foundation, that's just the beginning. Of itself, it's just the platform. It's above that foundation where the real business of engagement should go on. The conversations at the tables, the children's craft activities, the toddler space, the quiet space, these are elements which are building on those foundations. Don't get me wrong, it's important to have the foundation on which to build, and the teams that provide those foundations are very much as much involved in mission and outreach as any of the things that are built on those foundations. But it is for all to work out how to use that foundation and what to build on it. A member of our congregation used to come to me quite regularly during the first years of Cafe Plus, and she would say, I had this idea. You could do such and such at Cafe Plus. and I would say, that's a great idea. Who can we get to do that? And she'd say, well, you can do it, can't you? And I'd say, well, I've got quite a big job already. After a few years, they'd come and say, I know what you're going to say, but I've had this great idea for Cafe Plus. And I'd say the same thing again. But the idea that it's not just for me to do things, but that we all have a part to play, has now really begun to work. I still hear, you could do this, but I've also started to hear, we could do this. Which is great, because it means that people have really understood what happens is as much about contributing to ideas as just suggesting. And in particular, what happened a couple of years ago when Kirsten and I were very much preoccupied with other health matters was that key people really came together and said, let's do this. Let's introduce this. And that was absolutely fantastic. So what happens will happen because you make it happen. The Cafe Plus teams will do a fantastic job, as they always do, of making it possible for you to build on that foundation. But their job is foundation building. That was a joke. We mustn't be afraid to experiment. Skydiving isn't something you can experiment with. But Cafe Plus very much is, and we've tried all kinds of things over the years, some which have been successful and some which haven't. But we mustn't be afraid to try stuff, even if we think it may not work. Everything's worth trying. So if you've got ideas, don't be afraid to come to me and say, let's give this a go. So Cafe Plus, we've reached a certain maturity now as a project. It's 13 years in. But we do still feel that it serves a really useful purpose as an opportunity for our church to extend its margins into the community and connect with those who are not regular churchgoers. It probably needs to be said here that the aim of Cafe Plus has never been simply as a feeder to get more bums on seats in church on the other Sundays of the month. Although I am aware that there are people who think that that is what its purpose is. Rather, that Cafe Plus should really be an expression of church, one of many which for an individual might form part of their total experience of church in this place. A kind of network, or mesh church, if you like. In some cases, Cafe Plus will feed into people into a deeper fellowship of worship with us. But that isn't necessarily the primary goal. To what extent is Cafe Plus church was a question I put to a group of about 25 people who gathered together last Saturday morning to talk about the Cafe Plus vision and new directions. I'm pleased to say that the answer was unanimously that Cafe Plus is indeed as much church as any of our other public services. And I very much like the ex-Archbishop Rome Williams' definition of church, which is, church is what happens when Christians come together. Simply that. So we can have confidence that as long as we go to Cafe Plus, intentionally to engage with and bring what we have in Christ to all we encounter, we're 100% engaged in the work of a missional church. Now at the APCM last week, on Wednesday night, the annual parochial meeting, church meeting, we were invited to consider Bishop Stephen Croft's exploration of a new vision for this diocese, based around the Beatitudes, and based around these three words. To be more Christ-like means to become a more contemplative church, a more compassionate church, and a more courageous church. To be contemplative is to be based firmly with a spiritual dimension to whatever we do. Compassionate people feel and show sympathy for others. A compassionate church laments or mourns with the suffering in the world and is full of mercy, which leads to action. And courageous people are wholehearted. To be courageous means to put our heart and soul into everything we do, hungry and thirsty for justice, seeking peace and reconciliation. This seems to me to fit very well with the themes which came out of our Cafe Plus morning last Saturday. We do want to be more courageous in our witness at Cafe Plus. Our original advertising for Cafe Plus didn't hide the fact that Cafe Plus was an initiative of St. Mary's, but it didn't trumpet it either. We've always resisted having a full-blown worship experience at Cafe Plus for the reasons I've already spoken about. But we will, in the future, seek to introduce and be bolder with more spiritual content. And we're exploring ways we can deliver this. And so, compassionate church, we'll be wanting to explore issues around social justice, both in this country and abroad, seeking to align ourselves with the poor and oppressed. But what could we do in Cafe Plus to demonstrate these things as part of our witness, as part of our outreach? That's not a rhetorical question, but you don't have to answer it now. And remember, it's a let's or a we could answer, not a you could. If you want another C, communication was another common theme last week in our discussions. We do need to work on this area, and we'll be exploring how, but more accurately, who will help us in this area. Our original strapline for Cafe Plus, which is lost in the mists of time now, was more than just a good cup of coffee. But actually, maybe it should be something like St. Mary's in the community. That was something we talked about last week. Your views will be welcome. So, Cafe Plus has been a significant experience for us as a church over the last 13 years, and it has absolutely made us more open and engaged with our community. And we do believe it has great potential to develop further as the community enlarges, inevitably. And the PCC continue to believe that it's time and money well spent. But it will require creative contributions and inputs from us all if it's to reach out much further. If you aren't yet involved, what would you like to use Cafe Plus for? So let's return to the passage from John's Gospel. It was plain from Jesus' words and actions by the shore of Lake Galilee that it was the Lord. So as we set up and operate Cafe Plus each month, let's pray that it will be plain from our own words and actions that it is the knowledge and love of Jesus which is our motivation, and that the desire to share him with others will be at the heart of all our endeavors. Amen.